saying that everyone should have a right to good, affordable health care. Everyone should have a good pension. But we're going, it's a race to the bottom. And the idea that teachers and janitors and snowplow drivers are the problem, our fiscal problem, is just a divide and conquer strategy. And that's what we're having a referendum on today,
Robert,
in Wisconsin.
Robert Craig, I want to ask you about the John Doe investigations that we're not hearing very much about. Can you explain them to a national audience?
Well, and you know, we're still a pretty clean state in Wisconsin. There have been scandals before where legislative leaders were thrown out over using public money and public employees in order to campaign. And Walker, as county executive, that was going on. There were two different deputy chiefs of staff who were involved. There are now 11 people who have been granted immunity. It's very close to the governor. There are rumors that the governor might even be the target of the investigation. We're not going to know before the election. But I think the whole him having a number of people indicted that work closely with him and the secret email system that was found has helped keep him around 50%. And I think that's probably made it much more possible that he could lose today with great turnout and a great get-out-the-vote operation that progressives are trying to pull off here.
The other races, and but start, Richard Essenberg, by responding to what Robert Craig just said about these investigations.
Well, you know, as a lawyer and a legal academic, I'm really disturbed when people try to take a legal proceeding and make it into a political football. You know, one of the things, notwithstanding everything that Robert has said here today, here in Wisconsin, we're not hearing anything about collective bargaining or public spending because it doesn't resonate with the public. There's this attempt to take a John Doe proceeding, which is secret. There is absolutely no evidence that the governor has done anything wrong. But nevertheless, the Democrats are running ads filled with innuendo and speculation about things that they can't possibly know. And I have to say that as someone who studies, loves, and practices the law, I think that is extremely irresponsible.
Robert Craig.
Well, we know that if the situation was reversed, if Governor Walker was running against someone who was being investigated in a John Doe investigation, people around him had been indicted, he would use it. So I don't think there's any difference in the ethics. The reason it plays in part is it gets down to the whole credibility issue around Governor Walker, who, by the way, if you look at PolitiFact nationally, the fact checkers, is the least truthful governor in the country of any place where there's a PolitiFact. And so I do think it plays into that whole question about him and his character. I know that we have a divided state, though. Republicans, he's the most popular governor in the country among Republicans, the least popular among Democrats. So that also reflects the divide and conquer kind of strategy of Governor Walker. But it's important to realize this is part of a national conservative strategy, and what happens here will come to other states if Governor Walker survives today. And so that's important to understand as well.
Very quickly, the other races, the significance of them for the state legislature and lieutenant governor.
Well, the Senate's in play, in other words. So whether, even if Governor Walker's reelected, if there's a one-seat pickup, then there'd be a check on his power. And they're all fairly close. There's one in particular in Racine that's probably the closest. But that's also part of this whole dynamic. It could go either way. You could have a pickup of a Senate seat by the Democrats and Walker winning. You could have Walker losing a pick.
We will certainly follow up on this tomorrow. It's a very big day in Wisconsin. I want to thank you both for being with us. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizens Action, and Richard Essenberg, President of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Adjunct Professor of Law at Marquette University. That does it for our show. Tomorrow, Joe Stiglitz will join us, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, and we'll talk about what happens in Wisconsin. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, June 5th. Alejandro Escovedo and the Sensitive Boys, Jesse Malin, will be at the Bowery Ballroom, 8 p.m., Manhattan. Paul Simon will be at the Ziegfeld Theater, 7:30, Manhattan. Jimmy Cliff will be at Prospect Park Bandshell in Brooklyn, 8 p.m. In honor of Jimi Hendrix, G-Love and Special Sauce, Babel Gilberto, Anel LaRue, Living Color, The Roots, and Keller Williams, 6 p.m. at Central Park Summer Stage, Manhattan. Elan will be at 89 North in Patchogue, 8 p.m. Your billboard for Wednesday, June 6th. Matt Simmons and Chris Trapper will be at the Deep Wells Mansion in St. James, 8 p.m. John Brayman and D. Riley Ride will be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn, 9 p.m. Alejandro Escovedo and Jesse Malin will be at the Stephen Talkhouse, 8 p.m. in Amagansett. Rattlesnake Dawn will be at Barbecue, 7 p.m. in Patchogue. Allison Scola will be at Cafe Vivaldi, 8:30 p.m. in Manhattan. Live Art Fusion with the Ken Talv Trio will be at 841 East Lounge in Huntington, 7:30. Your billboard for Thursday, June 7th. Ahmad Ali will be at the Subino and Casino in Brooklyn, 7 p.m. Laura Sharaw, David Ramirez will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, 8 p.m. Live in the Lobby presents Jesse Pagano and Friends at the Patchogue Theater, 7 p.m. Your concert billboard for Friday, June 8th. Dar Williams will be at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, 8 p.m. Loudon Wainwright III will be at the Stephen Talkhouse in Amagansett, 8 p.m. The Spring Standards, Rhett Miller, and the Serial Lady Killers will be at the Bowery Ballroom in Manhattan, 9 p.m. Timothy B. Schmidt will be at the Paramount in Huntington Village, 8 p.m. Jimmy Cliff will be at the Klein Auditorium in Bridgeport, Connecticut, 8 p.m. Rattlesnake Dawn will be at BBQ in Patchogue, 9 p.m. Diane Reeves will be at the West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center, 8 p.m. Honor Finnegan will be at the Grounds for Sound, 7:30 p.m., Donnybrook.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. Stay tuned for Off the Wall. And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you as we sort of change gears a little bit today and focus on the last day of the Diamond Jubilee. And Kyle, you know, you and I are probably one of the few people I think that really gets it around here as far as why it's so important and what it means, because we were just there.
Yeah.
Not hang out with the Queen or anything like that, but sort of taking it all in, you know, the pageantry of the setup for this massive celebration, and it all seems a bit silly over here, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you don't look into it, if you don't appreciate it in, like, a historical context, and, like, I mean, it still affects us. It's part of our history. I mean, you don't have to care about the UK. You don't have to really give any kind of hoot about monarchy or anything like that, but you must realize that's like what we declared independence from, you know, a la our Declaration of Independence. And so it's a bit of our history. And, you know, I think in places like Canada, places around the world that are still that are still commonwealths of the UK, you know, they get it because their heritage and a lot of their governance and treaties and just, you know, how they function is really dependent upon upon the UK and what it's been, and then, you know, as a result, the monarchy, because even though it's not really how they're ruled, as you know, they have prime ministers and stuff like that, I mean, it still plays an integral part of that as far as diplomatic relations around the world and like protection and different things like that. And it's just, it's got a huge significance to a lot of people. And I don't know, I think it's a bit crass to say that nobody gets it around here. I'm sure there are people that do care, like Anglophiles all over here in Long Island, but you know,
it's, thank you, because I aim to be crass, as you know, and it's good to know I succeeded. But yeah, so we're back from the UK. We were there for only about a week, right?
Yeah.
But now we're back, and we were off. We were somehow preempted 2 weeks, even though we were gone for 1 week. I guess because we left on a Tuesday or something. Well, no, we left on a Sunday and came back on a Tuesday, so it was a little more than a week. Okay, but we wound up being preempted twice. Well, because we couldn't put together a show, we just didn't have it in us to do this. But we did put together some audio that we'll be playing, not this program, but in the near future.
Yeah. And we were thinking about USB when we were away. I mean,
constantly.
We did some amazing field production in the UK, and we were thinking, you know, just right down to the minute that that this show went on the air, and we were thinking, you know, oh wow, you know, our USB, you know, Off the Wall's going on the air right now. You know, it was in our minds and in our hearts. So definitely, it was no malice meant by it or ill will. You know,
no. And right now we're playing from an album that we just found, Tribute to Britain, 2012. You know, it's a lot going on over there in the UK this year. The Jubilee, actually, like, it kind of caught me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it. The Olympics, I thought that's what everybody would be going crazy about. But when we were over in London, they were all preparing for this four-day extravaganza, which just ended a little while ago. And what the Jubilee is all about, I guess, you know, people listening who might not have any idea what this is representing, get this. It means that the Queen has been on the throne. Yeah, I'll get the jokes out of the way now, okay? All right, fine. She's been on the throne for 60 years. 60 years. And that's only happened once before. That's only happened in the reign of Queen Victoria. Yeah, and we got Victorian architecture out of that that reign, so who knows what we'll get out of this one. In 1897, that's when Queen Victoria celebrated her Diamond Jubilee. There's actually film of this. You know this? They actually have some film of... It's in black and white, but there is actually somebody thought to bring their camera down and record some of it. She only was on the throne for another 4 years afterwards. So if Queen Elizabeth manages to stay on the throne for another 5 years, she'll have the record, and I guess she wins the gold medal for that. What are we listening to now? I guess we're going through the whole album. This is the Self-Preservation Society. The Italian Job? Really? This is British music from the Pearly Kings? Okay. Yeah, apparently we're going through all kinds of British culture tonight. Bear with us as we do that. It was a rather strange country. It always is a strange country. And a lot of fun adventures that we had. We rented a car, drove around in the northern part of the country a bit. To get pictures of various things for the next hacker calendar, the surveillance theme.
Woohoo! Yeah, hacker calendar.
New hacker calendar is coming out. Assuming there's another year after the end of the world this year. 2013 will be the new hacker calendar, and this will be ready. This will be ready in time for the Hope conference coming up next month. Which, oh my God, it's coming up next month.
wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Hope is next month?
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, we've been...
Wait, what? Next month?
So many things to deal with.
Wait, I thought we had another month.
This is the other month. Yeah, the months just keep going by. We've been working on that. We drove around up there taking some pictures. Do you want to tell the people where we went? We can probably let that slip.
We went to Manchester.
Well, yeah, that's not what I meant.
Okay, no, I was just messing with you. No. We went to Menwith Hill.
Yes, Menwith Hill. It's a strange-sounding name, but there are no men actually there who have a hill. The place is called Menwith Hill.
Right, yeah, it's Men with Hill.
I'm explaining it very well, but...
Don't get hung on any of that. Yeah. I mean, it's basically a place, and, you know, at first glance, it's just a bunch of farms and a lot of sheep, and, beautiful, beautiful northern England, a lot of countryside, and it's really amazing. And then you see they have a fungus problem. They have mushrooms growing that are enormous. They have mushrooms that are, like, the size of buildings.
That's a great way to put it, yeah, a fungus problem. These huge golf ball-looking things over in the distance. You're there, you're looking at a sheep farm, and all of a sudden you see all these white golf balls. And, well, they're not fungus, they're not golf balls, they're something a bit more menacing than that.
Yeah, they're radio, I guess you could say radio telescopes, but they're basically big antenna. It's an antenna array, and they're protected with these white domes so that you can't see where the antennas are pointing. And they're either pointing at stuff that they're intercepting, or they're pointing at satellites that are intercepting things, or they're pointing at satellites that are getting data from other satellites that are pulling interceptions from ground stations and stuff. So it's all really, really fascinating.
I asked you this at the time.
Uh-huh.
I don't get it now. I didn't get it then. But... what is it that they're listening to? I mean, with all these huge, massive dishes pointed to the sky, pointed to satellites, what data is it that they're intercepting constantly?
Well,
you know, what could it possibly? What are they talking about?
Well, I mean, if you probably listened to it raw and even unencrypted, it would probably sound like. Because it's all kinds of channels squashed into one big beam.
But are these telephone calls, these radio transmissions, conversations in the street, what are they listening to? Are they watching video as well? I mean, these dishes are massive. They're the size of a city block, you know? And there's so many. Are they authorized to listen to these, whatever it is they're listening to? When we say intercepting, I guess they're not authorized.
Which means not at all.
There must be people who are authorized who have similar huge dishes that they can listen to these with permission.
Right.
Are they just pirating satellite TV or something?
That's what it is. It's a big ploy so people can watch Euro 2012.
It could be. It could be.
Boy, just, and everybody else is a spook.
Well, what is it? All this information, I'm just trying to get my head around how much information is out there that these guys are privy to. You know, what kind of information is it? I just want to know. I guess that's probably why I never will know.
Did you know some of the first IBM supercomputers or mini computers? I don't even know what they were. They're computers nonetheless. They were installed at Men with Hill way back in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And they were employed to process all kinds of data. And in fact, this was a concern of AT&T's and other companies like way, way, way back. I read this in a really good book called The Biggest Company on Earth.
Uh-huh.
And it's an actual rational Cold War concern of AT&T that because a lot of telephone data was starting to be sent up in the clear over satellite, that it would be very easy for big ears of, you know, Russian or Chinese military or whatever to scoop up data. Because with signals, you know, if you're just bouncing signal in the air, other people can capture it too. So it was a concern back in the 50s and 60s even that they would scoop up all this data. And you can imagine the primitive Chinese and Russian computers, or whatever. They probably had decent computers. They were probably ripping off IBM computers by that point. But anyway, all that aside, they were concerned they were post-processing all of our phone calls and sort of deciphering our habits and, like, getting information about, like, what we do. And even just basic data from... that's, you know, talked about on the phones, because people very casually mention things, even things that are secret or whatnot. And so AT&T started wanting to encrypt things and you know, be a little bit more proactive with their security, because they realized they're just sort of broadcasting all this, you know, what is perceived to be one-on-one conversations, if it's phone calls or whatever. And if you're sending hundreds of them up in a big beam of satellite, you know, it's basically there for anybody to sit and record if they can, you know, technically implement a way to listen to it. So it's kind of been around for a long time, as far as I know. I'm really not an expert. I'm just sort of, I don't know, imaginative, and I'm sort of guessing with a lot of it. But yeah, the program that people refer to it as is Echelon.
Echelon.
And that's, I guess, an acronym or something?
Echelon. You know, they use all caps, but I don't know what it actually stands for. Let me see what Wikipedia has to say about this. It's a name used in global media and in popular culture to describe a signals intelligence, and that is known as SIGINT.
Yes.
A collection and analysis network operated on behalf of the five signatory states to the UK-USA security agreement.
Right.
Now, Kyle, can you name those five states? Actually, it's kind of easy because it's called the UK-USA Security Agreement.
Okay, I can get states. Two of them. And two I think them? I cheated and saw another one. I bet it's Canada. Uh-huh. I saw New Zealand. Uh-huh. UK, America. Yeah. About inquiring.